Sustained Christian greetings this morning in our loving Savior's name. Thankful that to be back home. Is this mic not working? There it's. It's not. Okay, just use the other one then. It's good to be back home this morning. We had a good time with our children last week, even though one of the families, most of them had the chicken pox, and they were pretty miserable. This morning, I want to raise a question. Palm Sunday, what does Christ mean to you? I have 3 points this morning. Those looking for him, those excited about him, and those who want to crucify him. I want to look at Zechariah 9, verses 9 to 10. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh on thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon the colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall seek peace unto the heathen." I think his portion here is speaking to the Gentiles. "He shall speak peace unto the heathen. His dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and the river even to the ends of the earth." This prophecy was written about 500 years before this took place on Palm Sunday. I'd like to look at those looking for him. The one important aspect of verse 9 is, "See, your king comes to you righteous and having salvation." And the scripture says lowly and means gentle. He was coming bringing salvation. Had Zechariah only prophesied the king was coming righteous and left off having salvation, there would have been reason to fear. Because the Lamb, Christ, had to come in order for the sacrifices that the Jewish people had done to have any value. Christ the Messiah was coming with salvation. But when he returns again, he will return as king with judgment. And those who have been justified by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, have repented and confessed their sins at his second coming, have nothing to fear. If you're here this morning and you recognize that you were a sinner and repented of your sins and accepted Jesus Christ and made him Lord of your life, if that trumpet were to blow right now, we would go on to glory. And that would include the children that have not come to the age of accountability. I believe that they're what we would call safe during that time. But those who have refused to do that, recognize him as Lord, they will face him as king with judgment at his return. The unfortunate perspective people had of Christ coming into Jerusalem at this time, they were looking for an earthly king. I'd like to go to John 12, and if you want to turn to this, to follow along with this, John chapter 12, beginning of verse 12, reading down through verse 19. St. John 12, beginning at verse 12, down through 19. "And on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, 'Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of Jehovah or the Lord.' And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, 'Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh, sitting on an ass, ass's colt.' These things understood not his disciples at first, but when Jesus was glorified, them remembered they that these things were written of him, that they had done these things unto him." Remember, I just read Zechariah, and that's the very thing that Zechariah was prophesying. "The people, therefore, that was with him when he had called Lazarus out of his grave and raised from the dead, bear record for this cause. The people also met him, for they heard that he had done this miracle. And the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, 'Perceive ye how we prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him.'" Struck fear in the Pharisees' lives. They were looking for someone to bring freedom from Roman rule. They were looking for a conqueror to straighten out the problems of the earth, evil, hunger, disease, and poverty. And they were looking for a provider, one to feed and give health, plenty and success, and man to bless him with life's desires. They were looking for an indulgent, passive Lord, one who accepts man no matter what man may do as long as he is a religious. They were looking for Messiahship of Jesus in this way, not with the demands that Messiahship would require at his coming. Again, I raise a question. What are we looking for in Jesus this morning? Christ's Messiahship requires self-denial. A Messiah who requires giving up self in order to be obedient to his call. It calls us to make him Lord of our life and take up our cross daily. Matthew 10:38, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And then in Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This call requires us to be pure in heart. Christ calls us for us to be holy, righteous, and pure. In Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If we are living a holy life, we will see God. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. If we can meditate on that verse on a daily basis, it will help keep our hearts pure. Think on these things. Philippians 4:8, put that in your mind and ponder those things. And 1 Timothy 1:5, now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, one that has repented and cleansed their heart of sin, as living a holy life, and of good conscience, of faith unfeigned. 1 Timothy 3:9, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience, again, stressing that our heart is clean. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceful and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. It requires us to seek him daily and to take up our cross and follow him. Carlos, I'd like for you to come up here this morning. I have a cross for you here this morning.
That came on now. I don't want to disappoint you, but that's the cross you're going to carry. You may carry that cross back. You've had some rough times, and today is going to be a good day for you. So you may go back and sit down. Okay, I have another cross here. Israel, I want you to come forward. That cross looks that's a little heavy, isn't it? Got a little weight to it. You know, you think you could carry that all the way back without bumping anything or dragging anything? Or do you think it'd be good to have somebody ask for help? Who would you ask for help? Who do you know that would come to help if you asked for help? Papa Wood, why don't you ask him to come up here and help you? Now you can get into the back here. Now you can. Isn't that much easier? Part of this was Israel and Doug's was planned. Carlos's wasn't. I have an illustration here with Doug. You know, we're asked to call on our Father for help, and I'd like to go to Psalm. Go to the book of Psalm. Psalm chapter 3. David says, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. Psalm chapter 4. He says, But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself, for the Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. You know, Israel knew that his father would be willing to help him carry that cross. I trust that each one of you this morning know that God the Father knows how heavy our cross may be or how light it may be. And there's different ones here that I know have had some heavy crosses. But I want you to think about that situation there. Let's not be afraid to call on God the Father. Let's not be afraid. He says in Matthew 11:28, Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Israel, was that so much easier to carry when your dad came and helped? You know, let's keep that in mind. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Even in difficult times, God can make our burden light. But we have to allow him to do that. If Israel would have said, No, I'm going to do this myself. Sometimes we tend to do that. We think we can just carry this, but God is really wanting us to call on him. You know, my cross may and probably will look different than what your cross does. And you know, Carlos, some days your cross looked like that. It didn't always look, every day it didn't look like the cross you carried back. We've all had days that our cross seemed fairly easy to bear, but we've all had days that it's been difficult to bear. Christ, when he went to the cross, he went there to cleanse our hearts from sin, that we do not have to carry the burden of sin. Yeah, you may look at my cross and think it would be a piece of cake to carry, not understanding its appearance is much different than what it appears to you. If I would have had the equipment and all, I would have made Carlos just a little bit bigger, hollowed it out, and filled it with lead. But I didn't have the time or the equipment to do that. It would have made that cross a lot different from what the appearance was. So, you know, it may look like things are going well. So I'm just going to deviate maybe in a little different direction here, a little side note. You know, it requires us to seek him daily and take up our cross and follow him. I'm sorry, I didn't put these up here. He doesn't ask us to carry that cross alone. I read Matthew 11. You know, the only way that we will have an idea how heavy each other's cross may be is if we get involved in each other's lives. This may mean asking questions. Tell me, how are you doing? Tell me, how are you feeling? Tell me, how can I help you? Tell me, how can I pray for you? Or it may mean just going up and saying, I would like to pray for you. It may mean stopping by for a visit and just noticing something that may need done and asking, can I help you with this or can I take care of this? But if we really want to get involved in others' lives, we will not only wait for them to come to us, but we will show our concern to them. And for some people, maybe this is harder to do than other people. You know, but Christ didn't always wait for people to cry out to him. He also saw their need and ministered to them. So I want to encourage us this morning. Think about each other's cross and think about each other and take concern for our lives. I'd like to look at those excited about him. This prophecy of his riding on a donkey to the tribute by the crowds was fulfilled. That has already been fulfilled. Had he ridden in on a horse, he would have violated God's command to the Jews. Back in Deuteronomy 17:14-20, When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt possess it and shalt dwell therein, and say, I will set a king over me. Remember, they went in and they wanted to have a king just like those around them. Like as all the nations are, that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose, one from among thy brethren, that shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. Christ came in as a king, but he was one of the Jewish people. He was one of the brothers. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end, that he should multiply horses. They were commanded not to multiply horses. And so it was important that he rode in on a donkey. I'll drop down to verse 19. Shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of life, that he may learn. Well, let me back up. Neither shall he multiply wives himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write a copy of his law in the book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. Are you reading in God's Word every day? If not, I really challenge you to do that. It is so vital to your spiritual well-being. You may say, I don't have time for it. I ask the question, is the Lord Lord of your life? If He is, I believe we want to read and understand who He is. Shall read them therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and to keep all the words of his law and these statutes to do them. Are we abiding by all of God's statutes? I can't answer that for you. You have to answer that for yourself. That his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, he turn not aside from the commandments, to the right hand, to the left, to the end, that he may prolong his days in the kingdom, he and his children, in the midst of Israel. And we all know that Israel turned away from God and they lost their country for a lot of years. They shouted in Luke 19:38, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. The Pharisees became alarmed with the crowd's proclamation of Jesus being their Messiah and King. Again, this event was prophesied. No matter how hard they would have tried, the Pharisees could not have stopped it because prophecy will come out. Christ proclaimed in Luke 19:40, I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. That's what he told them. Zechariah expresses much beauty and praise and worthiness in a few words of prophecy. Many involved in welcoming Jesus in the festive day were looking for an earthly king. They held a false concept that Jesus was here to be the earthly king and savior man. Had he not just raised Lazarus from the dead? Think about what had just taken place. This only took place several days before. Here was something that nobody had ever done. Lazarus was down in the grave. He was bound hand and foot. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And if he wouldn't have said Lazarus and he just said, come forth, I think everybody in that grave would have came out. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out even though he was bound. And he told him to unwrap him, and he was alive. Would it create quite a stir if a man were to come here and say, Chris McConnell, come forth. And he would come out of that grave, and he would no longer be in the wheelchair, be walking. We would get pretty excited. It would really change our thinking. And that's what had taken place. You know, who on earth had ever held such power as this? That people went out into the streets to welcome Jesus. They weren't sitting around waiting for him when they heard he'd come. They went out to meet him. They took palm branches, waved them, and laid them in the street as he went by. And the palm branches were a symbol of victory and triumph that were waved as a conqueror rode through the streets after victory. When the king came back and he had prevailed in battle and he had conquered, palm branches were laid out and it was a victorious time. They perceived him as their conquering mind and deliverer. They cried, Hosanna, which basically means save now, or say we pray, they were looking for a political king and not a spiritual king. At his first coming, he came as Savior mankind, but at his second coming, he will be coming as king and judge in 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And in John 14:6, Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. So a lot of religions today say, well, they all lead to God. They do not. Jesus Christ is the only one that leads to God. In 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead in his appearing in his kingdom. When he returns, he will return as judge. 2 Timothy 4:8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, he shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And 1 Peter 4:5, he shall give account to them that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. They greeted Jesus with the messianic prophecies from Psalm 18:25. Remember, it said they cried, Hosanna, or save me now. In Psalm 118:25, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. They were basically quoting some of that. The people received him as a political king. But his response was in John 1:23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as he said in the prophet Isaiah. And the word make straight there is the idea of a king coming. When a king was coming to a village or a town, they went out and they flattened out all the ruts and took the rocks out of the road and made the road smooth. So when the king rode in, he rode in on a smooth road. And that's what he's talking here. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet. This prophecy was of Isaiah 40, verse 3, the voice of him that cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight the desert a highway for our God. Prepare it. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You know, today, many people look to Jesus for health, for wealth, crying out to him in difficulties, but forgetting him when things are going pretty good. I want you to get this morning. We need to come to him because of who he is and not what he can bless us with. That is so important. Come to Jesus for who he is. He is a Savior of mankind. If the only time we come to him because of we have a need, then we come to him out of greed or out of selfishness. Yes, God is a loving God and wishes to bless his children. But this doesn't mean life will always be easy. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What we need to understand is that we must come to him because we love him and not because we can get something from him. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ. Those who wanted to crucify him. You know, the establishment became very alarmed at what was taking place. In John 12:19, the Pharisees therefore said unto themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is going after him. All of our people are flocking after him. We're going to lose our control. If we look forward several chapters of John 19, within several days' time, the Jewish rulers had turned the crowd of one of giving Jesus praise and glory to one of crying, crucify him! Crucify him! What would it take to persuade us to change our mind from worshiping him, denying him, or cry, crucify him? Or maybe we wouldn't say crucify him, but we would just deliberately go and do something wrong. That would be the same thing as crucifying. Romans 8:35-39. Who Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This doesn't mean that once we've accepted Christ, but now it doesn't matter what we do, we will always be saved. You know, if we are spiritual, you know, we make the choice of remaining in God's hand. You know, God, when we get saved, I like the picture that God holds us in his open hand. And we can choose to stay there. And all these things that I read, they can't push us out of God's hand. But God doesn't grab a hold of us and hang on to us and say, you can now never leave me. He holds us an open hand. And if we choose to go sin or serve Satan, it grieves God's heart. But we are people of choice, and God allows us to make that choice. You know, if we're not willing to stand without persecution, I believe it is very likely we will not stand when there is persecution. Today, many are not only not willing to stand for God, but blatantly stand against God. In Romans 1:20-25, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. An unthankful heart will be very difficult to be serving God. But it became vain in their imagination, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Change the glory of the uncorruptible God in an image made like corruptible man and to birds, fur-footed beasts, creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them over to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. You know how many people today try to save an animal, but don't hesitate to abort a fetus. They've worshipped the creature more than the Creator. They've also turned themselves over to you. We have the LGBT situation where God has clearly said that that is sin. Yes, God still wants that person to be redeemed and wants them to be saved. Pilate was very clear in John 14:9-14-6. Pilate therefore went forth and saith unto them, behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. The other thing, before Passover, if a lamb was sacrificed, he had to be examined before and make sure that he was perfect. Christ, the Lamb of God, Pilate examined him and found no fault in him. When he was sacrificed as a pure lamb. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto him, behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto him, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Though Pilate had the power to release him, he feared the crowds. Are we like Pilate, fearing the person or the crowds, or are we willing to stand with and for Jesus, who we claim as Lord of our life, no matter what the cost, or no matter whose company we are in, no matter what the discussion may be? You know, I can't answer this for you. Neither can you answer that for me. But we will all be accountable to God in what we do in these situations. In closing, yes, the crowd won over the ruler to have Jesus crucified, but that is not the end of the story. I can't end Palm Sunday with Christ being crucified. I know next Sunday is Risen Sunday instead of Easter Sunday. Not sure why we call it Easter Sunday. I like to call it Risen Sunday. And same way with Friday. It's not Good Friday. It's Crucified Friday. But we have the risen Sunday. Jesus is, you know, that is only the really on the beginning of the story. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And this morning, He is sitting at the right hand of God, interceding for you and I. Romans 8, 34, the last part of the verse. It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. May God bless you as we go through this Easter season. Brother Alvin?